So to begin with, let's have a confession. I'm a little nervous. It's been a while since I've spoken in front of an audience. There's a couple of things going on today that I want to talk about. One of them in the first reading is the institution of the hierarchical office of deacons. And you have heard me talk up here and in other places about the roles that we have as priest, prophet, and king. I think it's interesting that priest, prophet, and king are different than the role of deacon. And as I've been thinking about that, I understand the rationale for it, because for better or for worse, the deacons are called to serve as an example and as a measuring stick for the priests, the prophets, and the kings. No pressure. In the early church, it became evident to the disciples that there was lots going on and they needed to do other things. And so they shared the offices and their authority and their blessings with deacons. And although it doesn't say so in the Acts of the Apostles, in the early church, yes, there were women deacons who were commissioned to serve at table like the original deacons were. And I will tell you that the deacons did it whether it was convenient or inconvenient, because the first deacon on the list, Stephen, was also the first martyr. The second martyr, if you count John the Baptist, but a martyr nonetheless. And so this idea, this concept we have of priest, prophet, and king is supported, directed, and measured by the role of deacon in our church. So I would like to thank the deacons that we have, the ones, both Deacon Frank and Deacon Jean, who have been with me my entire tenure here, are outstanding examples of what it means to be of service and to be measuring sticks for us in terms of being priest, prophet, and king. Okay. Two. In the gospel today, we're back in the upper room. In the gospel today, Jesus has just finished washing the feet of the disciples, and if you read that gospel very carefully, Judas has not left the building yet. And so in the process of washing the feet of the disciples, at some point in time, Jesus kneels in front of Judas and washes his feet. In my theology, in my brain, it says that Jesus is forgiving Judas for what he is about to do. The challenge is that Judas doesn't get it. Peter, who, of course, being Peter, says, "Oh, Lord, I will never deny you. I'll never let you go. I'll follow you to the grave." Three times. Jesus who? But Peter seeks and is given forgiveness. We see in the post-resurrection appearances with Jesus that there is a time when Jesus catches the disciples out fishing again. "Have you caught anything?" "No." "We'll go out again." This is how Peter was called the first time. And the second time that Jesus calls Peter, he gives him the forgiveness for the thrice denials by asking if you love me. And of course, Peter says, "Yes, three times, I do." Forgiveness. This idea that if we follow Jesus, then it is the way to the Father, that the Father and I are one. Again and again, he talks about this fact of the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, the love that exists between the Father and the Son. You know who I am, you know the way, if you know me. If you believe me, if you trust me, then you know the way. You know the way to truth. You know the way to love. You know the way to service and to faith. If you have been listening to me these past years, If you have been hearing the things that I have been saying to you, then whatever you face in your lives, you will be able to weather. Martyrdom, disbelief, beatings, refusal, rejection, despair, fear. If you understand what I have been saying and doing for you, then none of those things have a place in your lives. He says this again and again to the disciples. He says it here specifically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he's been saying it all along. Believe in me, and you will have life. Believe in me, and fear will have no place. Trust in what I have been saying to you, and there is a way through. The body and the blood about to be given to the disciples in the upper room. The body about to be given to you. It's that same body that Jesus held on to when he was speaking to the disciples in the upper room. He is saying those things to us now, in today's time, in today's place, in today's state of the world. Those words still hold true. So, however the world unfolds, if you believe in me, Jesus Christ says, you will have it all that's important. You will have faith, you will have hope, you will have love. Those are the three things that we have to hold on to no matter where we are, no matter what we're faced with, no matter who we are with or not with, as the case may be. Going forward, it's important for us to realize that God is in the mix. In a very short time, the world has become quieter and cleaner. Is there still challenges? Yes. Is there still violence? Yes. Are there still deaths and disease and horror and fear? Yes. But in addition to talking about those things, people now are talking about, did you know that this company is giving away food to the poor and making arrangements so that they get it? Do you know that this company or these people got together and created a ventilator that works differently than the ones we have? The NASA scientists got together and in 30 days they created a new ventilator. What can we do if we put our minds to it? How can we weather this if we put our minds to it? Quite frankly, one day at a time. That's really the only way that we can do this. That, and as a faith-filled community.